Thank you. portion of God's Word to which we draw our attention this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the third chapter, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me?" Jesus answered him, "Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him to be baptized. After Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And there came a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. I think John had a right to be a little confused. After all, here he was in the wilderness by the Jordan, baptizing people for the forgiveness of sins, baptizing sinners. And up walks Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Why would he be coming to John to be baptized? And thus John's confusion. John knew that he was a sinner. Jesus was not. The roles really should have been reversed. John should have been baptized by Jesus, not the other way around. And yet Jesus needed to be baptized. He said, "Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." But even then, that statement might not explain things as clearly as we want. So why was Jesus baptized? Jesus was baptized, first off, for himself. Now, I just got done saying that Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need the forgiveness of sins. He was, after all, the sinless Son of God. But at the same time, he was a man. He was fully human, fully God and fully man at the same time. An incomprehensible thing to us, but a fact nonetheless. And because he was fully human, Jesus' human nature needed special equipment. It needed special strengthening to carry out the work that he was going to do. His human nature is just like ours, except he was without sin. But he was subject to many of the same pains and problems and shortcomings as we are. And considering all that Jesus was about to go through, all the work that he was about to accomplish for our salvation, culminating in his death on the cross, his human nature needed that special equipment. You know what it's like to try and do something without having the right equipment. Imagine trying to write a research paper without any technology at your disposal. Imagine trying to solve complex math problems without even a calculator. Imagine trying to clear your long driveway of snow after a blizzard and all you have is just a little broom. Or trying to walk from here to the cities on foot in the dead of winter. You have to have the right equipment. So Jesus' human nature needed the right equipment. It needed special strengthening for his work. Now granted, Jesus could have accomplished his work of salvation by himself, according to his divine nature. He could have used all of the divine powers that were at his disposal and breezed through his work without even breaking a sweat. But that was not part of the plan. The plan was for Jesus to come and do all of his work as one of us. He needed to save us as one of us. He needed to be one of us in order to rescue us from sin, from death, from hell. And so he was strengthened. He was equipped. The heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form as a dove. God himself, the Father, spoke, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus' human nature thereby was equipped. It was strengthened for the work that he needed to accomplish. But Jesus wasn't baptized just for himself. He was also baptized for you. Now, I don't say that as if Jesus was baptized in your stead, as if you didn't need to or don't need to be baptized. But Jesus was baptized because he was standing in your place as a sinner. The people that were coming to John to be baptized, they were sinners. Jesus came to save them, and so he needed to stand in their place as a sinner. He and John needed to fulfill all righteousness to carry out God's plan of salvation, the main part of which was him carrying that work out as one of us. Jesus was also baptized to bless the waters of your baptism. Martin Luther, in his large catechism, said this about how Jesus made the waters of baptism holy by his baptism. He said, "You should honor and exalt baptism on account of the word, since God himself has honored it by words and deeds and has confirmed it by wonders from heaven. Do you think that it was a jest that the heavens opened when Christ allowed himself to be baptized, that the Holy Spirit descended visibly, and that the divine glory and majesty were manifested everywhere?" Your baptism, you see, was not just something that your parents did for you to dedicate your life to God. Your baptism was powerful. In your baptism, a death took place. St. Paul says in Romans 6 that we were therefore buried with Jesus through baptism into death. In your baptism, your sinful nature, your old Adam, was actually drowned. It was killed. But your baptism, because it is a holy thing, because it is a powerful thing, also brings life. Paul goes on and says that we were baptized so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Through your baptism, you have life now. You have life forever in heaven because of what Jesus did for you, including him being baptized. Now, we know that even though we have this life now, we're going to continue to sin while we're still on this earth. Our sinful nature keeps coming up for air, making itself known in ways every day of our lives. In our pride, we start to think that we don't need God and his direction quite as much, and we try and make all kinds of decisions on our own, just getting ourselves into more and more trouble. Maybe we even get to the point where we start to wonder that we don't even need God, shoving him closer and closer to the background, not realizing that when we do that, we're shoving ourselves closer and closer to the precipice of hell. But in the midst of our sin, in the depths of our sin, the water is still there. At times it may seem like it's just a faint trickle, but the water is still there, the water of your baptism, the water through which God washed away all of your sins and gave you life. He gave you forgiveness of your sins and salvation, the water which continues to refresh your weary soul because it is connected to God through his word. It's a good thing that John ended up giving in and going ahead and baptizing Jesus. Had he not, would Jesus have been able to accomplish the work that he set out to do? He did complete the work of saving us. Because he had been equipped by God the Holy Spirit, he was able to carry out all of the work that was necessary to save us, to rescue us from hell. God gives that life to you in your baptism. Every day, give thanks to God as you say, "I am baptized." Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at our Lord's baptism in the Jordan River, you once proclaimed Jesus, your beloved Son, and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all of us who are baptized in his name may faithfully keep the covenant into which we have been called, boldly confess our Savior, and with him be heirs of eternal life. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.